So that's on page 59 of the Blue Books. Psalm 46. That's 46? Psalm 46 on page 60 of the Blue Books, sorry. We're going to be singing from verse 7 down to the end, verse 7 to 11. The Lord Almighty is with us to strengthen and sustain. For Jacob's God, our strong defense and fortress will remain. We're going to be looking at the account of Mary and Martha having Jesus to visit their home this morning. And spoiler alert in the story, Martha gets really distracted in all the busyness of her serving, and Mary sits at the feet of Jesus and listens to him. So that verse 10 speaks to that. Be still and know that I am God, on earth exalted high, and all the nations of the world my name will glorify. Let's stand and sing Psalm 46, 7 to 11 together.
The Lord Almighty is with us to strengthen and sustain. For Jacob's God, our strong defense and fortress will remain. Unseen the works the Lord has done, the judgments he commands, the desolations he has brought to pass of many lands. In every land throughout the earth, he makes all conflicts cease. He shatters bow and spear and shield, and brings his reign of peace. Be still and know that I am God, on earth exalted high, and all the nations of the world my name will glorify. The Lord Almighty is with us to strengthen and sustain. For Jacob's God, our strong defense and fortress will remain.
Grab a seat, but don't put your psalm books down. If you turn to the very first page of your psalm books, they have the Lord's Prayer printed. So I'm going to lead us in prayer at the beginning, and then at the end, I'll invite you to join in the Lord's Prayer with me. Let's come before our Father in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to come together as your people, as people called by you, as people drawn to yourself by you, as the family of God. We rejoice that we are here this morning to worship you. And Father, as we gather this morning to worship you, we want to worship you with all of our spirit, with all of ourselves. You are a good God, and we long to bring you the praise and worship that you deserve. We ask, Lord, this morning that you would just lift our spirits, that we would see you for who you are. We would see the living, almighty God. We would see the God who is love personified, that we would see you and your goodness, Lord, and be moved in worship of you. We ask, Lord, that the worship that we give you would be based in truth, that we wouldn't be worshiping anyone other than you. We would be worshiping you for who you are, who you tell us you are. And we ask that everything in us, everything in this world, would it praise you? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And we invite you this morning, Lord, would you be here? Your word promises where two or three are gathered in your name that you are there too. We rejoice that we are not just a hall full of random people from throughout the community, Lord, but as we meet here this morning, we are coming to meet with you, the living God. The God who knows us, the God who loves us, and the God that has made a way for us to be saved. We ask that you would help us to set aside any distractions, that we would be able to see you. We ask that as we open your word, as we read from your word, that you would open our eyes, that we might be able to see you, that we may be able to behold the wondrous things that you have laid for us in the Bible. I ask that you would speak to us. We ask for your blessing on James this morning as he's across in Inverness, Lord. Be with him. We ask that you would give him the words to say and that you would move in power there. We ask for this upcoming slow cooker supper we've got planned in the community. Lord, would you make that an event that is just a really good event, Lord? An event that reaches out into the community, an event that raises money for these good causes in the community. An event that helps to build relationships with people in the community, that we might take the good news, the wondrous salvation that you have given to us, to be able to share it with those around us. And Lord, this world is so broken and so often full of sadness and war and anger. And Lord, it breaks our heart almost every time we put on the news, Lord. We see something new, something disastrous, something that isn't right, Lord. We rejoice in the hope that we have in you, that you aren't content to leave this world as it is, but you have promised to come back, and that when you come back, you will make everything perfect again, and you will bring in your kingdom completely, that you will reign, and there'll be no more sadness, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more war, for these things will have passed away. But help us here and now, Lord, as we live in this world before you've come again, to be salt and light, to be ambassadors for you in this area, that the people that we live alongside would be better because we know you, Lord. We can't do that without you, Lord. It's your Holy Spirit that works in and through us. We ask that you would make yourself known to us, that we would seek you, that we would find you. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Oh, we'll read the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to sing again. This time it is on the back of your bulletin. This is one of my favorite songs, Seek Ye First, the kingdom of God. So we're looking at Mary and Martha this morning and how Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. We are called to seek first the kingdom of God. I've not conferred with you, Tracy. I was thinking we would sing each verse through twice, and on the second time round, anyone who knows the descant. Is that what you were about to say?
I'm about to say something simply, yeah.
Excellent. So sing each verse through twice, and on the second time round, if you know the descant, go for that. If not, just sing the first verse through a second time.
Yeah.
Let's stand and sing together.
Ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Beautiful. If you've got a Bible, grab that just now and open it with me to the Gospel of Luke. We're reading in Luke chapter 10 from verse 38. If you have this Bible, that is on page 1042. Luke chapter 10 from verse 38. This is a very short reading, I keep on going to call it a story. If Dad were here, he would tell me not to call it a story. These are accounts. These are true things that happened, that eyewitness accounts recorded for us. The account of the time that Jesus came to visit the home of Mary and Martha. Better. Reading from Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. God bless this reading of his word to us. If I could have the boys and girls down to the front here, and particularly Daniel, I need some help from you. Do you want to grab a seat on these seats at the front here, and if there's no room on the seats, just sit on the floor? Excellent, good job. Are you ready, Daniel? I have pre-warned Daniel that he has to do something for me this morning. So, you'll need to be very encouraging to Daniel, because I'm about to ask some various things of him. So, do you want to stand up next to me, Daniel? So, first of all, I need you to look up. Look up, okay? So, keep doing that. And then, I want you to take in this hand. You can just shake that, like a maraca. Nice now, so everyone can hear. Good job, good job. So maybe come close to this table, and in this hand, I'm going to give you a pen, and there's a pad of paper here. I want you to draw us a nice landscape. So think how beautiful the mountains were this morning. You need to be shaking this. The paper is just a bit closer here. There you go. So a nice landscape. And keep shaking that maraca. That's not a very good landscape, Daniel. So then what I need you to do is... Oh, the paper's on the ground. You won't draw a landscape with it there. So I've got a lovely card here with Galatians 5 written on it. I need you to read that out for me.
I say then, walk in the Spirit.
And then whilst you're doing that, I need you to... Or maybe finish reading that sentence.
I shall not fulfill you in the lust of the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law.
Right, okay, now I need you to eat this apple.
Yeah.
I'll take that away from you. I'll do the shaking for you. Okay. You weren't looking up. I needed you to be looking up.
Okay.
Good job. You can sit down and eat that apple. So, could you see there, as I gave Daniel various different things to do, he slowly got more distracted and found it quite hard to do all of them at once. I don't know if you've ever tried to do more than one thing at once. Yeah? What have you tried to do? Can you remember a time when you've tried to do more than one thing at once? Tried to kick a football with both of your legs at the same time. Have you? Well done.
Did you fall over?
No.
So, although Daniel did a very, very good job there of trying to do everything at once, this was his landscape. A beautiful landscape for us this morning.
No, it's very detailed. Look, that's too grass. And that's mad.
I see.
It's in the dark colour.
What if I said them? There was one thing there that was most important that Daniel needed to do, but because the most important thing was for Daniel to look up, but you could see as he was trying to draw his landscape, he had to look down a little bit to see what he was doing, to read the card, he had to look down to eat his apple, had to look down. We read this morning a story of two women. Anyone remember what the two women were called? Yes, Erin?
Mary and Martha.
Mary and Martha, good job. And what was Martha like? Anyone tell me what Martha was like? Yeah, go for it, Erin.
She was very, very busy.
She was rushing around doing all the preparations, probably making the food, tidying the house, getting things sorted. Oh, she must be amazing to have the two of you and manage to tidy the house all the time as well. Absolutely. Yeah. But what was Martha like? What did Martha do? Mary. What was Mary like? What did Mary do? Can you remember, Angus? Emma? That's a really... Yeah, absolutely. Verse 39 says, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. She sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he said. Martha
was so busy doing lots of different things that she lost the big picture of what was most important. What was most important was she had Jesus come to visit her house. She welcomed Jesus into her home. And her sister Mary was sitting at her feet, listening to what Jesus was telling her. But Martha was so busy tidying and cooking that she'd forgotten to even listen to what Jesus was saying. And she got so angry and annoyed and went and told Jesus, "Look, my sister Mary's sitting here doing nothing. Tell her to come and give me a hand." Do you think cooking and cleaning and doing things like that are bad? No. Was Martha doing something that was bad? It is good, absolutely. But even good things can become a distraction sometimes. Absolutely, and that's a good thing to do. But these things, even good things, can become a distraction. So it's important that we sit at the feet of Jesus, that we make that the most important thing. We were singing, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And we can serve and we can help mum tidy the house and cook meals. These are good things to do. But through everything that we do in our life, the most important thing is that we make time to sit with Jesus and to hear from him and to know what he says about us and to be able to do what he's asked us to do. Does that make sense? Any questions? No. Oh, Daniel. Where do you go? I'll take it from you once you're done. Do you have any fun? I've actually got very kind of being helpful, but isn't that very organized of me? Sit with us for a moment, we'll pray, and then you can wash your hands before doing jam group. Lord, we thank you so much that you have invited us to come and to know you, to be able to listen from you. And I ask that you would help us to make that the top priority in our life, that we would know what it is to have that relationship with you, that we would have good things to do, busy things to be getting on with, but that most of all, we would be able to know you. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Fantastic. Jam group, stay in here just for the moment, because Colin's going to help present this next psalm. But Sunday school, you can head off. You're Sunday school, so you can head off, Benji. We are going to sing from the Psalms again, Psalm 63, in the front half of the book. Psalm 63, which is on page 80 of the Blue Books. Psalm 63, and we're going to sing from verses 1 down to 6. O God, you are my God alone. I seek your face with eagerness. My soul and body thirst for you in this dry, weary wilderness. Let's stand and sing from verse 1 to 6 of Psalm 63.
God, you are my God.
Thank you.
Guys, you can head off now. If you've got Bible with you, open it up to Luke chapter 10 with me. That way you can mark me as I go along. It's important when you're listening to make sure, particularly when like an untrained elder like me is preaching, that I am speaking what the Bible says. This is our authority that God has given us to teach from. So follow the story with me and make sure that I'm not saying something that's not there. And if you think I am, come and speak to me after. I want to hear it. Let me read it again before we start, since it's such a short reading. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." We've got two women in this story, Mary and Martha, and we see the different responses they have when Jesus is in her home. I feel like when this story is taught in Sunday school and talked about in general, Martha is often seen as the baddie of the story. Martha's the one who gets all angry. Martha's the one who's too busy, who's faffing about, not realizing that Jesus is in her home. I don't know if you've maybe even heard that as an insult sometimes, if you're being a bit of a, some nods in the congregation there, if you're being a bit of a busybody, someone says, "Oh, you're being a bit of a Martha, aren't you?" Martha is often seen as the baddie. I feel like Martha gets a bit of a bad rap. So firstly, we're going to look at what Martha did right, what was good in what Martha did. Then we are going to look at what Martha does wrong, because Jesus does correct Martha very gently, but he says that there's something Martha has done wrong, something Martha has missed. And then we're going to look at what Mary has done right. So firstly, what Martha did right. Verse 38, Jesus and his disciples are on their way and coming into a village, and a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Martha opened her home to Jesus. Martha went out and invited Jesus in. There was lots of places that Jesus could have gone to, but Martha is the one who brings him into her home. And she shows love and care in that, caring for Jesus, loving Jesus by welcoming him into her home. Hospitality is a good thing. Hospitality, the Bible teaches us, is one of the gifts of the Spirit. That is a work that God does in us to make us hospitable people who are good at welcoming people. hospitality reflects God's heart to us. He welcomes us into his family. If you think of the story of the prodigal son, and the father runs out to meet the son that's coming home and welcomes him, gives him open arms, gives him a big hug as he comes home. Hospitality shows to the world around us the love and care that God has for us. Martha opened her home. She made herself available to serve. There was lots of other things, I'm sure, that Martha could have been doing that day. But she welcomed Jesus into her home. She chose, instead of doing any of these other things, there's this man that I've heard something about, this man that's been doing amazing things. I want to welcome him into my home and spend my day caring for him. She was willing to serve. And even though her service became a distraction to her, I believe it began with a right heart. Hospitality is a good thing. We need to keep that balance between service and getting distracted. But we need in the church people to step up to say, I am willing to serve. It's at 9:37 each morning at the moment. I've got an alarm that's going off on my phone. Heather shared the idea with me, so if you say it's a good idea, go and say it to Heather rather than to me. 9:37 each day, an alarm goes off on my phone from Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers into his field, is what Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 says. So, each morning, 9:37 is normally a fairly good time for me to, it's normally just as my work day starts at 10, that's what you can do when you choose your own working patterns. So that's normally just before I'm heading out the door, I can spend a wee moment praying that God would send workers into his field. We see in the church so many opportunities, so many ways that people can be reached, but the workers are few often. We are really blessed to have so many people serving, but there is harvest that's plentiful out there. We need people like Martha, people who will step up and say, come into my home, to say, I can do this. And Martha also cared for her sister in welcoming Jesus into her home. By opening the door to Jesus, she made way for that opportunity for Mary to sit at the feet of Jesus. In her leadership in the home, in her bringing Jesus into their home, she made space for Mary to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's what I pray for my life, that the way that I live and the actions that I do, that I would be able to spend time meeting Jesus, but that people around me are drawn in. And because of the way that I act and the things that I do, that other people around me would be able to meet Jesus, to be able to have Jesus in our home, to have Jesus in my work, to have Jesus with me wherever I go, so that wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I'm knowing Jesus and making him known to those around me. Hospitality shows God's heart, his love and his welcome for us. The people around us in our lives, in our homes, need to hear and be nurtured in the same way we do, to grow in the grace and fear of the Lord. We need people to step up, to serve, to go out into the harvest field. The harvest is plentiful, and the workers are few. That's a little bit on what Martha does right, but unfortunately it doesn't stop at verse 38. We read on to what Martha does wrong. Look at verse 40 with me. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Martha was distracted. She was distracted by much serving. There was so much to do in her eyes that she becomes distracted. She welcomed Jesus into her home, but then slowly, steadily, she gets distracted. by things that are going on. Her focus was no longer on Jesus. She becomes distracted. Like we were speaking earlier with the young people, is the hospitality, is the making food for people, keeping a tidy house, are these bad things? Absolutely not. We should be keeping our households running well as much as we can. But she allowed these things to become a distraction to her. Just the other week, sorry to throw you in it, Heather. Just the other week, we had friends visiting from a Christian entrepreneurs community that I'm part of. We were having them at the chocolate shop for the day, just to spend some fellowship together, to go for a nice walk. And just in the morning, I said, oh, I was thinking we would just have them over to the house for lunch. Heather's first reaction was, but we've not hoovered. And it's a good thing to have a clean, well-hoovered house. But in that moment, that became, and Heather did have them over for lunch, and we had a fantastic time with them in the house together. But that first reaction was, we've not hoovered. We shouldn't let things like this become a barrier to us opening up our homes. We should keep the focus on what's most important, creating those spaces for fellowship, for making an opportunity for people to meet Jesus. That's where our focus should be. Absolutely, it's good to keep a clean and tidy house. But the thing is, hospitality is not about a show. Hospitality for the church, for God's people, shouldn't be about, look at me, look at how amazing my house is, look at how amazing the food that I put before you is. It's a good heart that wants to make nice food for people, that wants to give people a comfortable place to sit and enjoy. But it shouldn't be about, look at me. It should be about, look at Jesus. We shouldn't have hospitality as this high, high barrier that if we've just bought a really nice joint of meat, if we've just bought the best bottle of wine around, then, and the house is spotless at that moment, then we can have someone round. We should have homes that are open. We should be sharing our lives honestly with people and welcoming people in. I can't remember who it was, but I once was listening to a podcast of someone giving their testimony. And they became a Christian because after one of the services, the minister invited them round for a cup of tea and a bit of toast. That was all the minister had in the house at the time. And I would bet that very few houses in Britain at any moment are not able to provide someone a cup of tea and a piece of toast. But that was what the minister invited him round for, and that was where he created that space for someone to be able to learn and ask these questions that he had about Jesus and to become a Christian. Hospitality shouldn't be about, look at me. It should be about, look at Jesus. It's a good heart that makes a good meal for someone, that tries to make people as comfortable as possible. But it should be not about, look at me. It should be about, look at Jesus. We see that Martha's hospitality, that her love and care turn into something that's a distraction for us. And not only that, we read in Jesus' critique to Martha in verse 41 that she has become worried and upset, or the ESV puts it, worried and anxious about many things. Her love and welcome to Jesus has slowly turned into a place where she is stirred up with anxiety, that she is troubled. And all these small details of around welcoming Jesus into her home have become such a big thing that she is full of anxiety. And we see in verse 40 where Martha speaks to Jesus. Listen to these words. This is the man that Martha has welcomed into her home, that she wants to love and care for. Listen to how she speaks to him in verse 40. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. The same man that minutes, hours, a wee while ago, she welcomed into her home, all of a sudden she is angry and annoyed and bitter and commanding Jesus, the same person she welcomed into her home, tell my sister to come and help me. She has become bitter. She has become angry. So what started as an act of love and service, she slowly got distracted. And then from that, she slowly got bitter and annoyed that she is so busy and that Martha and Mary is just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Her frustration led her to a point where she was bitter and started demanding things from Jesus. Again, she wasn't distracted with bad things. These were good things that Martha was doing, but she let them take her away from where her focus should have been. Distraction can make us lose sight of God's peace and his presence. God has invited us into a life of rest. He's invited us into his peace. We nearly started talking about the Sabbath this week at our Wednesday house group. We've decided to postpone that discussion because there's a really good question where we're going to thrash all of the Sabbath out. So if you want to come along on a Wednesday at Vivian's in probably 2 weeks' time, we can thrash out what it means to be the Sabbath. But the Sabbath is an image of rest. It's an image of the life that God has called all of us into. We are anxious and troubled, and God says, come into my kingdom, and I will give you rest. My burden is light, and my yoke is easy. Jesus has called us into his rest, and his kingdom is not a kingdom of trouble and anxiety. His kingdom is a kingdom of rest. And of peace, and of joy. These things will only come completely when Jesus comes again. But here and now, Jesus invites us to trust him. We know the one who is sovereign over all things, who is in charge of all things. And he has said that he knows and loves us, and calls us to trust him with everything. So Martha had let this distraction, this good thing, take her away from that place of rest and love, and she'd become bitter and angry. The distraction led her away. A quote from John Ortberg, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his surname right, he says, for many of us, the great danger is not that we renounce our faith, that we have like a moment where he just said, I'm done with all of that stuff, but that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we settle for a mediocre version of it. That we become so distracted, so rushed, so preoccupied that we settle for something that isn't the life that God has called us into. He has called us into a life of trusting him, of knowing him, of resting in him. Corrie ten Boom said that if the devil cannot make us bad, he will make us busy. The devil cannot make us bad, he will make us busy. Why? So that in our busyness, we become distracted and we become bitter and angry. We see in Martha's example here. We cannot let these small things that go on in our life that often feel big distract us from God. From his love for us, from his sovereignty over everything. Let us rest in him. Those things that Martha was distracted with were important in her eyes. But she lost sight of Jesus. And that verse from Psalm 46 that we sang first of all, be still and know that I am God. You might think in your life at the moment, how on earth could I be still? There's so much going on around me. Psalm 46 was written in view of the earth crashing, if waves storming. If you read around Psalm 46, around that verse, there's so much going on. The waves are crashing over, the earth is crumbling around. But the author writes, "Be still and know that I am God." Trust in him. Trust the rest that he wants for us, that he will give us. We looked at what Martha does right, looked at what Martha did wrong. Let's lastly look at what Mary did right. Verse 39 says, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Mary sat and listened to what Jesus was saying. And that sitting at his feet wasn't just a throwaway sort of, "Oh, I'll just sit here." That was the posture of a disciple. In the way that she was sitting at his feet, she was saying, "I want to follow you. I want to hear from your teaching." That was how people followed someone. They sat at their feet. Mary chooses to sit at Jesus' feet in worship, in learning from him. It was a conscious decision to prioritize Jesus in that moment, to hear from him above everything else. I'm sure, imagine if you were Mary in that moment and you're sitting at Jesus' feet. I'm sure you would be aware of what's going on in the rest of the house, that you might hear Martha's crashing of pans and pots, that you might hear her going around, clearly hinting that I don't think her coming to Jesus to tell Mary to come and help her was the first thing that happened. I'm sure there was lots of stuff going on around there. But she had blocked those out and chosen to prioritize hearing from Jesus. Jesus had the words of life for Mary. And we read in verse 42 that Mary has chosen what is better. She chose well. Mary has chosen the better portion. It's not about just about learning. It wasn't just that Jesus had some really interesting views on life. Mary had chosen what was eternal. What Jesus was sharing with her wasn't just important for that moment in her life. It was important for eternity. Martha had chosen to focus on things that were temporary. But Mary had chosen to listen to Jesus, who had the words of life that matter forever. Why is it so important for us to listen to Jesus? Take a moment with me to acknowledge the weirdness of this situation. You and I are in a building together, listening to teachings from a man that lived just over 2,000 years ago. He was the most influential person in history. It's totally bizarre because Jesus only had a public ministry. Only the time that he spent publicly teaching and going about lasted 3 years. That's not very long. We're hearing on the news this morning, it's been 5 years since the COVID pandemic. So less than that ago, 3 years Jesus spent teaching. That's not very long. He had no official offices, no places in government. He didn't try and form an army. He didn't gain much political power. He didn't even have a family. He didn't have a wife or children. And after those 3 years of public ministry, he died. If you were to talk about someone like that, you would think maybe he didn't get very far. He didn't have much of an impact. But this man, in so many ways, has conquered the world. You and I, 2,000 years later, are listening to teachings that he spoke. We are followers of him. The way we define our birthday, the year that we were born, is based on around this man. We define the year based on when he was born. He has followers in the billions. His teaching, in so many ways, has shaped the foundations of our culture and our society. There's an evangelist called Glenn Scrivener who says, "When you say Jesus Christ, realize that Jesus is his name and Christ is his title. It means anointed king. The calendar testifies to his birth. Billions testify to his influence. He is the man at the center of history. He wants to be at the center of your life. He wants to be at the center of your life. This was no ordinary man. This was surely God. He said it himself. He reveals himself as God sending himself to us, to make God known to us. We should focus on what he has to say. Mary chose the better portion. What's the best thing that you and I could do with our life? Prioritize time with him. Make that your first aim in life, to seek first the kingdom of God, to know him. He wants to know you, and for you to have him as the center of your life. So that one day, when he comes again, we will be part of his kingdom, a good and perfect kingdom, a place of rest and of joy and of peace. This is what he's called us into, and we need only follow him. That's seek ye first again. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Seek, and you will find. Mary chose the better portion. She chose what was best. Martha let her service become a distraction, become bitterness, become anger and demanding things from Jesus. But Mary chose what was right. That doesn't mean we don't want to serve, don't want to cook food ever again. We just want to spend all our times locked in a room reading our Bible. These things are good. But in all of them, we seek first his kingdom. Amen. We're going to finish by singing. Shout to the Lord. Hopefully some of you know this. Shout to the Lord. My Jesus, my Savior. Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. You want to sing it through once or twice? We'll follow your lead, depending on how well it goes.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, my comfort.
stay standing for a moment and I'll read this verse from Numbers over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.